Coming up on podcast 1512, Volkswagen unveils the ID Aero concept in China, or we think it might be the ID6 SUV. Also on the podcast today, we'll have a look at various countries and how they're moving towards zero emissions, from Japan to Germany, why the Audi boss says we must do it straight away, and why EVs could be getting cheaper in Australia. Well, good morning, good afternoon, or good evening. Wherever you're listening in the world, welcome to EV News Daily for the first one of the week, Monday 27th of June. It's Martin Lee here, and I've been through every EV story today, so you don't have to. Welcome to a new Patreon supporter. Roger3592 is his screen name, at least that's what came through on the dashboard my end. But hey, thank you so much. You're a Patreon hero, a new producer. Roger, thank you very, very much. And if you're listening to this podcast, and if in any way you get any value, entertainment, information, learning, and you want to be a personal or a corporate sponsor and supporter, you can do that. Patreon, patreon.com/EVNewsDaily. And if not, it's fine. The podcast will always be free forever. Now, what is the McMurty? If you don't know the answer, you probably weren't following Goodwood Festival of Speed. Hill climb over the weekend. The McMurty is a 200-mile-an-hour electric single-seater. Looks like a small Batmobile. And it just broke the Goodwood hill climb record, just eclipsing the record of the VW ID4 by a few thousandth of a second. And it's got underbody fans that suck the car to the road in the corners and yet turn off in the straights when you don't need the downforce. It foregoes a big rear wing and all that downforce created by overbody wings and things like that. To be more aerodynamic and efficient, they say this car can work for 30 minutes at flat track. Good for maybe a racing series based around these cars. But yeah, if you've never heard of the McMurty, designed and built in Gloucestershire, then you wouldn't be forgiven for not knowing what this is. But it has definitely caused a load of stir over the weekend. Headline story, Volkswagen unveiling the ID Aero concept just a couple of hours ago, as of me recording this on Monday. It's going to be the inspiration behind a flagship EV. And let me tell you that the Volkswagen concepts they've been unveiling haven't really been changing very much from that to the cars that reach the customers. And that's a good thing, because this concept looks amazing. It's a Tesla Model 3, BMW 3 Series competitor, but it's low and swoopy and four-door and sedan-y. And I know that everyone wants SUVs these days, but I love the look of this vehicle. And hopefully China will too, where their young, first-time car buyers want vehicles like this. But actually, and I will add, they really want connected cars, and they really want connectivity that integrate into people's digital lives. And that's where perhaps VW have been behind the likes of Tesla and some of the domestic Chinese car makers as well, that are very, very high on digitalization, voice control, app access and things. So wait and see what VW does there to really get back in China, because their ID cars so far haven't caused a huge splash. Work to be done. I don't think VW would deny work to be done there in China. In China, they'll be made with the two companies they do joint ventures with, so FAW and SAIC. And in Europe, they'll be made in Emden, and they'll move out the Passat and move it to the Skoda factory to make room for that. Also at VW, a bit of news which won't be very welcome, but I'm sure they're fixing it, and that is that they've had to pause the ID Buzz production for a week because the cells are coming from a new cell supplier, so it's only affecting the Buzz, not the other ID vehicles, and the voltage is dropping in the cells, and that reduces the vehicle's range. They confirmed they'd found deficiencies in quality checks. Since the start of production earlier this month, they've made 500 ID Buzzes, but it's a new supplier as well, a new cell supplier, so it doesn't affect the other ID cars, but I'm sure they'll get on top of it, and none of those vehicles have gone to customers, so not a huge problem. Let's go to the US. In fact, let's go to the US and Japan and Germany. We've got some news to talk to you on the podcast about today that is a bit more, you know, about the rulemakers and the lawmakers. Now, it's a bit dry sometimes, but bear with me. First of all, in the US, this is sad. It looks like the increased $12,500 federal EV tax credit proposal, part of the Build Back Better plan, is unfortunately now dead. Bloomberg spoke with Senator Joe Manchin, who confirmed that the proposed increase has disappeared. It's gone, he said in an interview. He campaigned alongside Toyota, Honda, and Tesla not to increase to $12,500. And the federal tax credit was going to be refundable as well. So this would have really helped those who aren't such high earners, who haven't got such a big tax liability, but want to buy an EV. Because if you only have, you know, $5,000 or $7,000, you know, tax liabilities for next year, the rest of it, up to 12 and a half, was going to be refundable. A check was coming your way. It's a real shame for hardworking middle-class American families that want to go EV, but it's just those ticket prices are a little too high still. As Bloomberg reports, Senator Joe Manchin openly criticising the proposal, claiming it ludicrous to offer incentives in an industry where there's already long waiting lists. He wants to instead incentivise hydrogen vehicles. Well, there you go. That says a lot, doesn't it? The people who are campaigning for hydrogen vehicles, in my experience, are those that want to maintain the status quo. They are often funded by the fossil fuel industry. And because the fossil fuel industry's got it good, right? They get all those subsidies and then they make you drive to a filling station where they set the price and you're at their mercy. You can't make petrol, you can't make hydrogen at home. Hey, you can have a solar panel. And they hate that. They really hate that. So don't give in the good fight. But unfortunately, this time, the federal tax credit looks like it will not be going any further. A real, real shame. And from America to Japan, how about this? A Reuters article today claiming that Toyota's chief lobbying the Japanese government to ensure the government promote hybrid vehicles as much as electric vehicles. The lobbying of Akio Toyoda. He's the president and chairman of Toyota and head of the Japan Automobile Manufacturers Association, JAMA. It's an industry group. It comes as a lot of green investors have been questioning investments in Toyota because they're slow to embrace zero-emission vehicles. There's a chap who is a former industry minister. He's called Akira Amari and was caught on tape and in the minutes of the meeting requesting a change to the government's language. The government were putting out a roadmap in Japan for their 2035 zero-emissions ban. And like the rest of the world, really, like, you know, Europe and California and China. And the final version of the document has now had the phrase so-called electric cars inserted. And it puts hybrids that burn fossil fuels on an equal footing with EVs. It appears, according to this Reuters article, and I'll pop a link to the Reuters article in the show notes, the quote caught on tape from this gentleman says, and I quote, "I spoke with Chairman Toyoda yesterday, and he said that the JAMA cannot endorse a government that rejects hybrids. If we don't say hybrids are included in EVs, it won't look good." End quote. This is the thing, that whether you want hydrogen or synthetic e-fuels or whatever, so much electricity has to be used to make these so-called synthetic fuels or whatever, rather than just using electricity, that EVs driving on a battery and an electric motor are so much more efficient. But Japan absolutely bending over to Toyota and doing exactly what they asked. Wow, that is real influence, some would say. With great power comes great responsibility. Toyota seem very happy to carry on selling hybrids in the meantime. And why do I have a problem with that? Well, I didn't have to look very far. I thought, let's bring you a more recent article about air pollution. I don't do many of these because when I do it, it gets a bit ranty. And this is not a ranty podcast. This is an optimistic podcast about the amazing things happening in electric vehicles. But I thought, okay, let me go and look for a more recent article about pollution. And why do I have an issue with car makers who love their hybrid vehicles, who spew disgusting pollutants into our lungs? And I found one published only today. So here you go. A new study, says this article, a new study finds that having a portable air cleaner can reduce the negative impact of air pollution and particulates from cars and things on the brain development of your unborn child. Simon Fraser University collaborated with the US and Mongolian scientists to study the impact of using an air filter in pregnancy. The women were all less than 18 weeks into their pregnancy. They were non-smokers. They'd never previously had air filters in their homes. They were assigned to two groups, the control group and the intervention group. And the intervention group were given HEPA air filters for their homes in Mongolia, where air pollution can be very bad. The researchers came back 4 years later and measured all of the kids from both groups at the age of four. And the incredible result, which ties in with hundreds of these studies that I've seen, shows that the full-scale IQ of a four-year-old born in a household with less pollution, they were 2.8 points IQ higher, and particularly when it comes to verbal skills. A quote here from one of the researchers. These results, he says, these results combined with evidence from previous studies implicate air pollution as a threat to brain development. But the good news is that reducing exposure has benefits. Now, the article clearly wants to point out, hey, air filters are really good. I personally would take a different approach. And I would say if you were running a company like Toyota that made hybrids and you had the option of going electric or carrying on making hybrids, you could say, I know the social impact of what we do, of emitting pollutants. And we know that if your business is in the business of giving people lung disease, lung cancer, actually getting pollutants into the unborn children, getting it's your job to get pollutants in vitro into human beings so that when they grow up, they're more stupid. How do you sleep at night? Like, that's your job? I would go in a heartbeat. Let's stop selling hybrids. Let's go full electric or whatever, hydrogen, zero emissions, whatever. We can't be in this business. It's a really bad business to be in just as a human being. How do you sleep at night? So there you go. So well done, Toyota. Slow hand clap to you. I hope you enjoy selling all of your lovely hybrids in the meantime. And, you know, there are obviously good people that work at that company, and I get a bit ranty and stuff, and there's obviously good people who work at that company, good engineers that could make amazing solutions. But at the very top level, it's just so scary how much power is wielded by big organizations, by lobbying, by money, and how much, you know, politicians need to be stronger at doing, you know, what's right for the future of us and the planet and our kids. Right, coming up, we'll talk about what's happening in Germany and also Australia. Like I say, we're doing a bit of a whistle-stop tour around the world today. Hope you don't mind. And why Norwegians are in love with the Tesla Model Y. Stick around, those stories, they're all coming soon. Now we'll go to Germany, where there is another bit of an issue. And I found this on the German website, spiegel.de. So this is a Google Translate. Bear with me. The coalition in Germany, a bit of a traffic light coalition, is negotiating a compromise on the EU phase out of combustion from 2035. Some of the people involved in the coalition in the federal government want to approve the plan from Brussels, the EU, and some of them don't. According to the plan by the European Commission, which has been approved by the European Parliament, from 2035, passenger cars, no CO2. According to Spiegel, though, this website, a compromise proposal is in order in Germany because some of those in the government want to carry on making internal combustion engines that are able to make either an admixture or a percentage of synthetic fuels, or run completely on synthetic fuels, e-fuels, synthetic fuels, if you like, that, again, like I've mentioned, take a huge amount of energy to produce, and they're inefficient compared to driving an EV. And the problem is here, Germany is now being supported by Italy, and again, the Italian car industry does not want to electrify because, hey, Ferrari is combustion, right, and the rest. German influence is there, and some other countries could come in, and it would potentially scupper the 2035 emissions ban. Now, hopefully those negotiations come through in some order. Am I worried? Look, no, because EVs are better. And as every single person by person, day by day, drives an EV and goes, wow, this is so much better. Now, the problem is supply. So you're going to, you know, wait for a new EV. The problem is price. Used EVs have very high prices because that new supply is bad. And also the supply chains are compromised, and building new factories is not the work of a moment. Building, you know, getting the minerals out of the ground, mining, refining, battery cell, you know, each of those projects can be 2, 3, 4, 5 years on their own. So work to be done. I don't deny that. But we know EVs are better. Am I worried that by 2035 there'll still be combustion cars on the road? Not at all, because the market will take over. So all of these politicians who are, again, under the thumb of certain lobbyists, and you know, you just know somewhere someone's paying someone something. Hey, I hope they spend it on things that make them happy, and they can do them. But I don't think it'll have a material impact because the changes are happening now. We're past the tipping point. They can try and hold it back. It's not going to work because EVs are just better. Even the Audi boss agrees with me. The news coming from Germany about parts of their coalition wanting to hold back the ban. The head of Audi, the CEO, Markus Duesmann, is not on the same page as the German finance minister, Christian Lindner, insisting that the 2035 ban is a good thing. Audi's on track from 2026. They will only launch all electric vehicles onto the market. But he did say that we need to also expand charging and supply of battery cells. Now let's go down under. I told you we're doing a whistle-stop tour of the world. Let's go to Australia, where EVs could become cheaper from the 1st of July because the government will honour their previous promise to cut the 5% import tax. It's called the electric vehicle discount, and certain import tariffs and benefits should come in. So those 5% tariffs on cars from Japan, Korea, Europe, etc. will go. And then there's the fringe benefits tax, which if a company makes a car available to their employees, attracts a 47% tax rate. Looks like that will either go or be reduced. So all those benefits for EV buyers will help the second-hand market as well in time, but that's great news. Now, let's go to California next, where Tesla and PG&E, the utility, are teaming up to launch a new Powerwall program and create a virtual power plant like we have in the UK. It's great to see California following our lead. Many people don't talk about it, even realize, but Tesla have been operating a virtual power plant for years in the UK. With Octopus Energy, who I'm with, the Tesla Energy Plan, so if you've got a Powerwall and solar, you haven't even got to own a Tesla vehicle, the TEP will pay the same for your export as you pay to buy the electricity. I think it used to be 10p, it might be 14p now, I've not checked in many months. But that's, firstly, an amazing price, because electricity is like 35, 40 pence a unit lately, and if not more. And so you pay 14p in and you sell for 14p. You give them control of your Powerwall. They do energy trading, and you get amazing electricity rates for import export. In California, Powerwall owners get $2 for every additional kilowatt hour fed back into the grid. And that is amazing, because it's designed to counter the stress events on the Californian grid. There was a pilot program last July that was voluntary with no payouts, and now the incentives are there for Californian residents with power walls and solar to be part of that. Brilliant. Let's go to Norway now, where the Model Y has been delivered in mega numbers. Now, obviously, end of quarter, the previous 2 months, well, China was in lockdown, Shanghai plant wasn't making any, so cars couldn't be exported from China. Tesla desperately trying to make up all of that problems before the end of the quarter. And I'm not surprised they're going to Norway. 2,000 Model Ys in what is a small car market. 2,000 Model Ys registered so far as of yesterday. That is about the same amount. It's actually less. If you add up the ID4 together with the Skoda Enyaq and the Audi Q4 e-tron, you know, it's less than those three cars combined, for instance. But it's still a mega number. No Model 3s, 14, I think, like nothing this month. So again, it's about what gets delivered from Tesla. I'm sure there's more than 14 Model 3 buyers in Norway, you think, anyway. In Norway, looking at June so far, not even at the end of the month, Model Y is number one, followed by the ID4, the Enyaq from Skoda, the Ioniq 5, the BMW iX, and the Q4 e-tron. And finally, we'll go to BMW, who say no hybrids for us, at least when it comes to two wheels. BMW's VP of Customer Brand and Sales saying there's no plan for BMW to go hybrid with their motorcycles, and rather going the full way to electrification. He said, this is, what's his name? Dr. Alexander Ver, telling MCN, Motorcycle News, on motorcycles, there is no upside of hybrids if you can have an electric drivetrain. And he said, we will keep pursuing electric. It fits very well to scooters and motorcycles. And that's your podcast for today. Sorry if I got a bit ranty halfway through with the whole Toyota stuff and pollution. If you think it is too ranty, you can tell me. My address is hello@evnewsdaily.com. Always try and be upbeat, positive, optimistic on this show and bring you the best EV news. And sometimes, you know, stuff comes along that kind of frustrates me a little bit, and I do share it. But I know that's not the reason why a lot of people listen to the, I hope you don't mind the occasional moan at Toyota and Japan. Now, question of the week, taking a little break back soon. Same address when that returns, hello@evnewsdaily.com. Thanks to our Patreon premium partners, Phil Roberts of Electric Future, Brad Crosby, Porsche of The Village in Cincinnati, Audi of Cincinnati East, Volvo Cars of Cincinnati East, National Car Charging on the US mainland, and Aloha Charge in Hawaii. Also, Derek Riley from the EV Review Island YouTube channel. He's been in an EQS lately, I think. That's a nice car. Check out his YouTube channel. Richard at rsev.co.uk for buying and selling electric vehicles in the UK. Hi to emobilitynorway.com. Octopus Electric Juice. Get yourself one of their cards and get the app as well. Because with one card, one map and one app, it makes charging simple. And millbrookcottages.co.uk. Five-star luxury cottages in Devon where you can jump in your hot tub and charge your EV. While you enjoy your holiday, because they're a wonderful family-run business who love their electric cars. Thanks for listening today. Have a good and see you tomorrow. And remember, there is no such thing as a self-charging hybrid.